This is the Healthy Worship Team podcast, and I'm your host, Julie Engler. If you're a worship leader who's ready to get to the next level, whether it's to help your team thrive as your church grows, become a stronger leader yourself, or to add more creativity to what you do, you're in the right place. I've spent the last 20 years leading worship, and I want to share with you the best of what I've learned. I know you've got the talent. I know you've got the calling. Now let's talk about everything else. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Healthy Worship Team. Like I said, my name's Julie. I'm your host. Super excited to be here with you. Do you guys want to hear like where I'm at right now? I've been recording my episodes every Sunday night, late at night. I'm in my living room. My sweet husband, Chris, is sitting on the couch, chilling and giving me emotional support while our sweet baby new puppy, Scout, is sitting on his lap. She's adorable. She's a little Springer Spaniel puppy, and right now she's kind of wilding out. So if you hear little things, little like, you know, little growls or little something, yeah, that's her. We take off her jingle bell collar so I can record in peace, but because we got three kids and I don't have like a separate office, I have to do it after the kids are in bed because our house is pretty, everything's like hardwood floors and stuff. So that's where I'm at. I don't know if you care about that, but I just thought maybe you'd like a little visual. If you really want to see a picture of Scout, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at thehealthyworshipteam@gmail.com, or you can check me out on Instagram, The Healthy Worship Team, and send me a message, and I'll post a picture of Scout for you. So in the last episode, we started another little mini series about spring cleaning. It is time. Easter is coming this Sunday, and it is time for us to go through our stuff. Just a quick tip on this. You should be going through your stuff at least once a year. The big stuff. You should go through your closets, and I'm talking about for the worship team. You should go through your equipment closet. You should go through your office. You should go through your computer. You should go through your song database. And that's what we're talking about today, is your song database. But before we do, just a quick tip, go through your drawers in your office. Get rid of pins that are gross and that you don't use anymore. Collect them all in one place and go put them, if you don't use them, go put them in your office supply closet, in the stockpile, go put them back. If they're disgusting or they're old and mostly used and you don't want to use it anymore, then get rid of it. If you want to use the ones until they're all the way gone, then put away all the good ones and just use the ones that are almost running out until they all go all the way down. I don't know if that's really satisfying to y'all, but get rid of old highlighters, get rid of old markers, get rid of old office supplies you don't use. If you don't use a stapler anymore, then get it out of your office. Like, it just feels good to get rid of things that you do not need anymore because it makes space for what's to come. So in this next episode, I chopped it up. It's going to be kind of like a hard start. But we're talking about the sound or the song database and going through your worship songs for your worship team. I love you guys so much. Thanks for listening. Here we go. The second thing that I want to talk to you guys about is your song list. Okay. So this is a completely different project, but just as necessary. You're going to want to block off some time. You're going to want to not have any other requirements on your plate, and you're going to go to your song database, and I want you to go through your list of worship songs that you guys currently do for your worship team. Now, if you are under the impression that you need to create the complete database of all worship songs that have ever been sung in your church or in contemporary Christian church, and you need to have that complete and you need to be responsible for filing and cataloging and all of that thing, can I just give you some good news? It's already been done. It's called the internet. It's all there. Any song you have ever sung, any song you have ever led that the history of your church has ever sung, it's all there on the internet. You actually do not have to be responsible to maintain however many years of songs on your particular database. What would be a better option would be for you to catalog specifically, first of all, of course, your current songs that you currently lead and any songs that you want to archive, that you want to pull, that you can see yourself pulling. Honestly, I hesitate to ever to even say this to you because we have some songs archived on ours and I'm like, we never pull them. I would just go to the internet first. So when you talk about like how to make your song selection choice very, very simple, you need to, I would highly suggest going through and getting rid of all the songs that you do not currently lead right now. You can always pull them back from the internet if you want to do a throwback or a callback to another song. Now, I want you to notice, I'm not telling you what songs you should get rid of. And I'm not telling you that you should only be in the current style. I'm saying whatever songs your church currently uses. So whether you are a traditional congregation, you bring in hymns, liturgical songs, you have a certain era of worship songs that really, really do well in your with your congregation as well as current songs, that is completely your prerogative. So I'm not telling you what types of songs you should be getting rid of. What I'm telling you is that when you look at your database, you should go through, and if you have not sung that song in the last year, you should go ahead and get rid of it and eliminate it from the decision-making process. So, because what that's going to do, first of all, it's going to help you really clarify what songs you do currently and what works really well for your church. And also, it's going to make room and give you some margin, make you feel like you've got some space in there to go and to explore for other songs. When you explore, that could be more current songs and probably should be, but also it can help you go explore other types of songs, some throwback, some like freshen up your throwback songs. If you've been hitting Shout to the Lord as a throwback chorus or something, maybe it's time to go find another song that's another great like callback to years ago, your hymns as well. So go through your database and freshen it up. Get rid of the things that you've been doing that feel overdone. I like to go through and actually look at the songs and sing them in my head and think about it. When you really have your finger on the pulse of the worship team, which my worship pastors, I know y'all do, you know what feels tired and done. And let me tell you how you know, okay? So there's a difference between you feeling like you know it. You'll know that press through moment. Okay, so there's like new worship songs and there's that like new fire to them when you first start leading it. There's a new anointing and it's exciting. It's exciting for you and for the congregation, okay? And then you get to a point where the song is known and they know what to expect and they know what that song entails and what it's going to bring, right? Then there's this press through season when you get to use the song. The novelty is mostly gone. If you've got new people come to the church or a new leader sings it or something, there's a next level of like excitement, but the novelty is gone. And now you've got this solid tool in your tool belt that you're going to pull out to direct people's attention to God, to an aspect or characteristic or an idea, that you're going to point them to in order to worship the Lord. That is like super, super fun. And as worship leaders, we sing a song however many more times than the congregation ever does. If you're in multiple services, we do three services. So we're going to sing it three more times than, three times as many times as a person who attends one service. But also we're going to do rehearsal and we're going to practice and all that. So we're singing that song however many times, right? So you kind of, hopefully you've gotten over that like, it's not really about if it won't feel tired to you if you're putting your intention and your attention to the Lord with the song. Like, I don't really get tired of songs anymore. And I repeat songs more now than I ever have before because we do so many services. I don't get tired of them anymore. And I think, that you guys probably know what I'm talking about. Like, you know how to use this song in order to connect to God. It's really not about the song. It's really about where you're going with the song. And so, but there are songs that I'm like, okay, we're doing this one again. I'm going to lean in and use my intention and pay my attention to what the song is leading me to, and it takes me there. There's a difference between that and a song that I know it's not working for the congregation. Now, here's where we get to the part that I super spiritualize everything. I start to worry that, people are going to, that making the decision about song is like a song is a very, very, very serious and heavy spiritual decision. And can I just say, y'all, it's really not. It's really not. Songs are tools. They're not meant to be worshiped or idolized or like crystallized or fossilized into this like immovable object. Songs are tools that try to express something from the Word of God in order to put our attention, but the style and the feel and the tone of a song, it's for the season. Some songs are going to last longer. Some songs are going to, you know, stand the test of time. But just because they stand the test of time doesn't mean they work every single Sunday. Like, you know, that's why we sing new songs, because it helps our brains and our hearts apply new perspective to timeless truths about God. So let's just like lower the not like notch it down the like, oh no, we're being sacrilegious if we move a song out of a rotation. It's really not as big a deal as I think I thought it was before. I feel like, oh no, I'm offending someone. It's really more about our own preferences and fear of change than it has to do with like we're honoring God or dishonoring God, or we're, you know, we're changing something that's really holy. And so when I look at what songs work really well for the worship, for the congregation, I look for songs, if it's time for it to go, if they're no longer responding to it, and we have a very strong worship culture at our church, a very strong praise culture. And so everybody's going to be really responsive no matter what. But, if it doesn't feel like it's getting the response, if I'm not hearing them really respond, well, I could say it's a high energy song. Some of those songs have a shorter, shelf life because the styles can be a little bit more like, not for the moment, but a little bit of a shorter lived style. And so, we kind of know when the congregation's like, okay, you know, that's good, you know? And then also for the worship songs, I'm looking for songs that the people, when it gets to like an instrumental part or a part where you're really like settling in and just getting, you know, hoping that people will like kind of press in and worship the Lord and sing out to the Lord, if they're really responding well, then that's a great song. If they're kind of sitting there and like not really doing anything, honestly, the way I'm saying this, I don't really feel like that's true for my worship, for my church. What can happen is songs can get overused. And honestly, like giving them a little bit of a break is one of the ways that I do that. So before I'll actually like fully nix a song, I'll give it a break for like a few months and then bring it back and see what the response is again. And if it still is kind of a little bit like, okay, you know, they're trying to go with you, but it's not really taking you there. Like that is no harm, no foul. That's why they're songwriters. Their calling is to write new songs. Their calling is to bring fresh voices to worship. So, if the song isn't getting the response that it needs, what you're hoping to accomplish with the song is not happening, just go ahead and cut it and find another one that has a similar theme or a similar goal of the song, and find one that works better for your church. That is not man pleasing. That is not like you being a slave to, you know, people's preferences. Especially if you're not asking, but you're watching and observing and paying attention. Like, be a leader, watch what the responses are, watch how they're responding to it. And now I didn't even talk about things like, we're not talking about the theological basis. I'm going from a foundation that you already know how to find songs that reflect the heart of God, that accurately share the word of God, and that honor the Lord in their songs. And there's so many to choose from that you shouldn't be super fearful about that. But I'm talking about just the response and knowing when a song is ready to be retired. Okay, so just to recap really quick, we're going through songs. Songs are tools that we use. They don't use us. We don't serve them. They serve us. And as long as they serve our congregation and serve what we're trying to accomplish, they stay. And if they don't, then they don't stay. And just a reminder from the episode before, you do not have to get approval or consensus from your team in order to make those changes. You would probably do very well to have this conversation with your senior leadership before you start going through in spring cleaning. That conversation might look like you coming into your oversight's office. That could be your executive pastor, if you have a creative director, or your senior pastor, and to say, hey, I'm going to go through all of the songs that we do and all of the songs that I have in my database, and I'm going to start clearing out ones that I don't use or that aren't really working well for our congregation. Do you have any songs that you feel like work really, really well, or songs that you feel like really don't work well? And that invites a really great conversation with your oversight. First of all, when they feel, if they feel like they do have something they need to share with you, this is a great time for them to do that. So for them to say, hey, I've been meaning to mention to you, but this one song just gives me weird feelings, or, you know, it's just really, I really don't feel like it works very well for our congregation. Or they could say, you know, you could be, it could be one of those songs that you're like, we've done it a lot. It's not really like on the top of my list. And he's like, you know, and your leader could be like, this song is really powerful and effective. And that's when you say, okay, that sounds great. We'll make sure to keep it in there and to keep using it. That builds a lot of rapport with your senior leader. But just like in the episode before, they also are entrusting you with some of those judgment decisions. And just depending on your leadership and how they weigh in, they may really lean heavily on you to make those decisions for the church. That's how good leadership is empowered, is to say, you're the expert. You're the one who does the work and the research on this area. You have my heart. You have my vision. Go for it. Get rid of what you need to get rid of. I trust you to do that. So lean into that. Own that responsibility. Own your place. You have a voice. You have insight. You know your people. You know your congregation. When your heart is right and your heart is submitted, you can fully lean into those judgment calls and stand on your own two feet in that way, knowing that you can make some of those decisions. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm forgetting about song listing. If you guys have any questions about that, oh, let's talk about this. Okay, because your team, you don't need their consensus and you don't need them to agree with you on a decision, but you can help the process of accepting change. And just like stuff, there are certainly emotional attachments to songs. So one of the ways is you need to make your decisions ahead of time. You need to make those in private with only the people that have authority to weigh in knowing about it. But if you want to be proactive in your communication with your team in order to give them a chance to adjust or to have buy-in on the decision, you can let them know maybe before you delete them out of the database or before you know, they disappear in your thing. You can send out an email, or if you have like one person that you feel like is someone who struggles with this type of thing, struggles with either not having input or not having, or like not wanting things to change, you know, you can have a conversation with them and say, hey, I just want to let you know of a couple changes that are happening. These songs, we're going to take them off the database. Of course, if we ever want to bring them back, we totally can. We'll just put them right back in. And give them chance to process, or give them a chance to communicate with you about it. Once again, if they have no authority to make or affect the decision, then you need to know that ahead of time. And that means you can create space for them to process how they feel about it without it actually affecting the actual outcome of the decision. So you give them space to be heard and to connect with them. You validate them as a person and you recognize that they care about certain things. And then you help lead them through the process of letting go of something that does not need to be carried into a new season. This feels lower stakes than getting rid of actual stuff, just because of the fact that all songs are available to you at all times. So this is more about peace of mind and helping your decision making on a regular basis. And we're going to get to, like, in some future episodes, we're going to get to planning and how I plan song lists out and that kind of stuff. And having a really clean dashboard of the songs that I really do need to choose from absolutely helps that decision making process feel less overwhelming. So yeah, we're going to stop here and pick it up in the next episode. We're going to talk about tools that you can use and tools that you should be getting rid of for your team. So thank you so much for listening. I love you guys. Even if I haven't met you, I feel it. I feel the connection. The thing is, we're all joining arms. We're linking arms every single Sunday. And even if you're all around the world, like, you know, around the time zone clock, we're all linking arms to worship the Lord together and to lead our congregations. I hope that that is something that's super encouraging to you. We may be different denominations, we may be vastly different styles in worship, but we're all doing the same thing for the same reason. We want to honor God. We want to help people turn their eyes to the Lord, look up to the hills where their help comes from, and be encouraged. And so I feel the camaraderie. I hope you feel that from me. If you are enjoying these episodes, I would absolutely love it if you would follow me on whatever streaming platform that you're listening on. You can follow me on Instagram at The Healthy Worship Team, and you can email me at thehealthyworshipteam@gmail.com. Ask me questions, give me requests, and I'll cover as much as I can. If you have specific questions, I'd love to answer them on the next podcast. So reach out. I'd love to hear from you. Hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you.